This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malevsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
We have an incredible guest. It's Carolyn Crandall. I think you probably all read her bio online. I just want to say Carolyn has been doing some amazing things at Attivo Networks to defend against breaches. And most folks are not ready for that. And she almost, I'd say, pushes the curve in the envelope to bring new things to us that we need so bad. Identity detection and response is the most important today. You've got to be ready for it. So Carolyn Crandall, Chief Security Advocate at Attivo Networks, an amazing leader in preventing identity privileged escalation and detecting lateral movement attacks, is with us.
Hey, great to get a chance to talk with everybody. This session is on something that you're likely starting to hear out in the market more, which is identity detection and response as a new category that's gaining a foothold, and to help businesses understand what their risks are related to identity and how to gain visibility plus that detection and response around it. And so hopefully after hearing through this, you'll be more ready than ever before to go on to the next step in protecting your business. All right, so one of the first things is to cover the identity security gap. Why are we talking about this? What's happening out there? What it is we're talking about, how it works. I'll give you an example and then Q&A, but feel free to chime in anywhere along the way, and I'd be happy to stop and take a question. As Gary mentioned, why now? We've always had credentials. We've had Active Directory for over 20 years. Why are we talking about this stuff? And there's a lot of information going out right now that is talking about it being under siege. And that is because there's so many attacks, especially these large and devastating ransomware attacks that are using credentials and privileges to be able to gain the control that they need. And they're is definitely gaps in the system. Whether you've made the investment in EDR type tools, they're not designed to protect Active Directory or detect credential misuse. And identity access management is really about access management, not about protecting the credentials and privileges or their systems themselves. There's also, even when you have the tools, there's a lack of automation. And that's one of the big changes that has happened in the last year is bringing forward these automation tools that allow you to take what could take you hundreds of man hours and turn it into minutes of automated analysis to be able to see what's going on and be able to create an actionable response to it. We also know that there's a skills shortage. It doesn't fall short when you look at Active Directory. And we need to be able to come up with tools and have them at our fingertips to be able to do what it might typically take an advanced person to do, but distill it down so that everybody can understand what's going on and also bridge that communication between the security and the identity teams. On the other side, writing scripts to solve all this is tedious. It takes a lot of times and there's a lot of error-prone mistakes. We need a different way. The other thing that we're seeing, especially in the last year with all the ransomware attacks that have been going on, is this compliance is getting stricter. There's a lot of focus right now on identity protection. And again, we'll get into a little bit of why MFA, if that's your interpretation, is not enough. And also insurance companies are getting smarter and they're getting, and identity is now becoming part of the insurance piece. And if your company hasn't asked you about it yet, don't be surprised. I expect it's coming. What are you doing to protect your identities? If you don't protect them with diligence, is it going to impact your payout? So these are all things to think about, because if you're not looking at identity detection and response to detect this activity right away, you are going to increase your risk. So let's jump in. So the gap that's here, talked a little bit about EDR. So you've got your endpoint protection and you've got your access management pieces, but there's still those detection gaps. And when we look at them, it's the credentials as we think about them, it's the privileges, it's the entitlements in the cloud, which has caused a massive explosion based upon the human and non-human identities that need to be managed. And then of course, Active Directory, both Active Directory and Active Directory in the cloud. This is a gap that is really not closed between either the endpoint or the access piece of it.
So we've got three things here. Our endpoint protection, everybody spend money on that. We think we have access protection, but in the middle, we have number two, identity security. I'm just curious, I have my thoughts on why this happened. Do you think it's a post-COVID everyone moved to the cloud and AD was just totally vulnerable, but it was behind firewalls? IT could handle it. Like it's in the bunker, don't worry about it. But now it's out there in the open for anybody to get at.
Yeah, there's more ways to get in. We can always build these tall walls and deep moats around the outside of the castle. But if the castle doesn't exist or nobody's inside the castle, you do get a different situation. I think that the mass expansion of remote working, hybrid working, transient workers, supply chain attack activity that's been going on, things are just getting into the network. And there's a general lack of visibility for privilege escalation and lateral movement activity. And if you peel that onion back, the root cause, like why is this all happening, is because Active Directory has a lot of exposures and they're being exploited. And they're being exploited because people are getting in. And we can't blame it all on phishing. Phishing is always going to happen and somebody's going to make a mistake, but there's misconfigurations. There's lack of patching, there's other things, there's a whole variety of things of why people will get in. And if you talk to red teamers about their success rates in getting into Active Directory, they'll go all the time. Yeah, I can get it. And it's not that hard because with enough time and persistence, they are going to find something to be able to exploit Active Directory and then continue to elevate their privileges. So if I make one other reference to it, I was listening to webinars the other day, and they talked inside of that really point blank question from the audience is, why does ransomware keep happening? And their response was really clear. It's Active Directory. It's a mix of things. It's the exposures from the endpoint and how they're able to get to Active Directory. It's the lack of visibility to see when those privileged accounts are utilized. It's controlling those privileged credentials and limiting the number of accounts that have access. Those are all things that are causing that risk and ability to exploit Active Directory or entitlements in the cloud for that matter. And so that's why just fundamentally, there haven't been the right tools to give the visibility or the detection and response in these environments. But I also say there's no more excuse for that because those tools exist now since early in late 2020, early 2021. So now people need to close that gap, but you won't be able to close it with your other tools. And that gives me a good transition to the next of why can't I close this, right? I can't close it with my EDR tool because they don't give me that Active Directory protection. They can't detect theft or misuse. It's just not built into the platform. It doesn't see into the cloud entitlement or over-provisioning. They're not really designed for visibility to reduce that attack surface, to see when those credentials are exposed at the endpoint. And even if I look at my zero trust and how I'm using EDR as a part of it, is that it's lacking the visibility to data and application access. And so if you're really looking at protecting your credentials and your Active Directory environment, if you're trying to embrace zero trust, you need to be able to look at this. And at the bottom, there's one of my favorite quotes from Peter Furstbrick over at Gartner, and saying identity detection response is a critical capability of any solution calling itself XDR. Well, the reality right now is the big XDR players don't have this built in. And so you need to be able to look at the vendors, in this case, like Attivo, that specifically has the capability to build out that vision of a comprehensive XDR platform.
Wow, Carolyn, this is amazing. This is innovative. This is new. This is different. Most folks spend their money elsewhere. And we've got to get them to realize there are so many ways to exploit Active Directory weaknesses, from reconnaissance, domain escalation, privilege escalation, account stealing, cross-trust attacks, persistent exfiltration. I've looked at it, and you can actually literally go online to a GitHub repository and grab any form of exploitation tool. And I'm not asking our listeners to do this unless they want to test something they have permission to test it on. But there's so many vulnerabilities that Attivo Networks already uncovered in Active Directory over your years of research, and especially with understanding how hackers attack by deceiving them, a leader in deception, that literally I could get hundreds of free tools to gain control of a cloud-based or an intranet AD server. And most people that I've talked to, CISOs, IT folks, they don't know that. They're like, that's new. That's a surprise. But the cyber criminals are doing it.
Yeah, there's a lot of tools that were designed for good. Like Bloodhound was designed for good. Mimikatz was designed for good. Unfortunately, they're just used in really bad ways. And the problem is that there's just a lack of visibility without the right tools to be able to see when those tools are being used. And that's what we're here to solve today, is there is technology out there today that will do it. You just got to look in the right place, because if you look to the EDR, or in the other case, if you look to the access management vendors, they're not focused on it either. They're focused on that access management, provisioning, connecting, controlling the identities, making sure that the right person can get in, but not making sure that the bad guys can't. And so as you look at that, you have to, again, it's everywhere. Access is not that hard. What do you do? And you can keep working on the endpoint. We'll talk a bit about the defense and depth of what you can do there, but you have to take a look at it a little differently. And there's a lot of things happening with rethinking endpoint security. Even if you look at what the government is now doing with CISA and chartering them to go out and say, how do we need to look at endpoint security differently than we've done it before? And this is one of the ways that again, I don't know what will be in the report because it's not done yet, but this is one of the things that I hope does come out that says, you have to, in the way you protect the endpoint, is make sure you cannot move laterally from the endpoint. And one of the key ways of doing that is credential theft, misuse, privilege escalation, and other forms of reconnaissance. And this is what this technology can show you, where how they can do it, and then show you if they're doing it.
And Carolyn, what about ransomware? I remember the first known Active Directory attack that caught my attention, because we're a media outlet and we cover these things, was WannaCry. It was exploiting a vulnerability in Active Directory to then take ransomware and turn it into a worm, blend them together into a ransom worm, and work its way with credential permissions across 1,400 computers at nih.gov.uk, taking down a healthcare system. And I have other questions. Was the ransomware meant to take them down more of the ransomware? Was a DDoS attack, an intranet DDoS? Did the bad guys care about the money? But that was the first Active Directory exploitation I saw, and that was the light bulb started to turn on and say, are they going to do this again? SolarWinds was another big one. People might say, it's not me, I'm not SolarWinds, or I'm not NIH, but isn't anybody a target right now?
Yeah, everybody's a target, because there's so much kind of commoditized ransomware right now that you got the smaller guys that are going to go after the smaller businesses and less sophisticated attacks and smaller payouts, and they'll stay below the radar. People's hands are busy trying to take care of the really big bad stuff. You have little stuff going on and it just doesn't get the attention that it needs. So businesses do need to protect themselves, and you can't rely on insurance to just come pick up and clean it up, make the payout and restore, because restoring operations is not always a slam dunk. And there's just so many different versions of ransomware. I was talking to Brad Laporte, and he's another ex-Gartner analyst, the other day, and he was talking about like 3,000 different variants of ransomware that was out there in a recent report. Apologies. But how do you keep on top of 3,000 different combinations and growing of this ransomware threat? And so I think what you have to do is take a step back and go, you know what, you're probably not going to keep them from getting out, but they all have common techniques. Different families have slightly different techniques, but if you think about it from a technique standpoint, you can cut them off at the pass. And that's a lot of what this technology does, is it goes, we know they're going to do these things. And it's not necessarily behavioral based, it's more technique based, in going, they're going to do this. So let's look at how they're going to do it. And let's just derail their efforts. I want to break down our conversation now into identity visibility and identity detection and response. And these are both around securing identities. And although this was titled as identity detection and response, I think you need to spend enough time in visibility to also understand what's going on, so you shut down those attack paths and understand those exposures. So if I look at visibility, it's again looking at those exposed passwords on the endpoints. It's looking at the attack paths. So how will they move to get to their targets? How will they move to get to Active Directory? How will they move across the cloud? And how will they even potentially hop between cloud and on-prem environments? So a lot of that visibility just does not exist today with pre-existing tools. Again, as you probably guess, the session sponsored by Attivo. Attivo does do all of these things, but more to come on that. The second act is the identity detection and response. And here, instead of just looking for the exposures, you're looking for misuse of credentials. So maybe they've stolen them or bought them from somewhere, looking at privilege escalation and lateral movement. And it's also looking at the systems that manage them, and it's putting a layer of protection. So you're not just detecting, but you're actually doing things to prevent them from seeing and gaining access to things. And then you're looking at unauthorized Active Directory queries, as Gary, you talked about before. It's not that hard to get tools to go in. We use as defenders for good, but the bad guys use as well to gather information. So let's see when they're just trying to learn the environment. And that gives you a very powerful tool that at the point of attack or observation, you're going to see what they're doing and you're going to be able to derail that. The other thing I will call out is that in no way is this saying that IDR is a replacement for single sign-on or MFA. You absolutely should be doing those things, but it's not enough because we know that people go beyond. Roger Grimes from Yontra said that there's 150 different ways to bypass MFA. And he's right. There's a lot of ways to go around that. And you want to have that next layer of defense there. And again, it's a complement to these endpoint protection, NDR, XDR type systems, because they don't do these things. So now let's go straight into where it is. And I think, Gary, there are some surveys that I'm probably just jumping through. So if you want to feel free to pop any of those in along the way,
Carolyn, this might be a good test of the service, because GoToWebinar telling us at 1:30 Eastern that they're having partial service outages and camera issues. I want to make sure our attendees are getting everything, getting all the content. So folks, we're going to launch a poll. And let me bring up the first poll of three polls. This is going to be fun. Let's see how the first poll goes. Is your organization prioritizing identity security? Okay, people are with us. This is exciting. Is your organization prioritizing identity security? Select yes, somewhat, not yet, or no, we haven't gone beyond multi-factor authentication, MFA. And Carolyn and I are not allowed to vote, just so you know. Okay, and I'm going to close the poll. Here it comes. And let's take a look at the results.
All right, so that's encouraging. So that people, I do think it's early for many companies in the journey. A lot of folks have really looked at single sign-on and MFA and getting through that. And now, especially given all of the attacks, they're starting to look more at this. Let's go on to the next. Is, again, just some stats, and I won't spend a lot of time because I know you guys can read it, but it's inside of the presentation for later if you want to go back to them. But there's a lot of great information about what's going on with credentials. And I love the Verizon Diver report, and it's magnificent in that it points out all of these credential-based attacks and that we need to be paying attention and we need to protect them, but they don't really say what to do about it. And so I find that as a little bit of a weakness, and now is an opportunity that you can now take a piece of information that says we've got a problem, but now we've got a solution. So the first part of that is getting the visibility into those exposures on the endpoint. So if you're looking at any cache credentials, anything that's in memory, that'll essentially create an attack path for the attacker. So how are they going to move through the organization to get to your targets and to be able to instantly remediate those? And we know there's a lot of things that are out there. Maybe there's orphaned credentials, maybe there's shadow admins, maybe there's other things that are just left, right? An administrator goes, works on somebody's computer, leaves their credentials behind, and nobody realizes it happens. But now you've increased your attack surface. So the first thing is let's reduce that attack surface by giving visibility to those exposures and making sure that the attacker can't use them to move on in their attack. The second piece of it is Active Directory. We talked about it being under siege. And some people feel these stats are conservative, but this is from an Enterprise Management Associates research report, just came out recently. And in that, the respondents, I think it was about 250 people polled, said 50% of the businesses had attacks in the last 2 years, and 42% of those attacks were successful. So really reinforcing the point that they are getting to Active Directory and they're being successful. And also just tying back to the other poll, are people starting to focus and prioritize? The poll also said that 86% plan to increase funding specifically on Active Directory protection. So some other data to reference. And again, I have a little note there about the quote from Nick Bennett and how he talked about Active Directory and the risks that it presents for ransomware attacks. So again, what are they looking to get out of their investments? So they want to get an understanding. They want to know how to right size. They need to do faster detection of these things and get actionable information for response. And they need to know the extent of things. And so this is what people were looking for as they look to go and add their investment in Active Directory protection. And again, if you looked at, there's only a thing, we all have limited things we can ask for in budget and activity, but if I had one thing that I would want to do right now is this: protect Active Directory. It is the keys to the kingdom, and it is the Achilles heel of the organization. It needs to have its security beefed up. And so here's how you go about it. You begin, get rid of those exposures from the endpoint. You look at things now in Active Directory. And here, what's unique and different is you can get a health score, and executives love scores. They love like a number, but now you can get a number for how you're doing. How is your severity? Is it high, medium, or low? You can take a look at how those trusts are changing. You can take a look at how things are performing from a domain user or device level. And why this becomes interesting is we know that this changes all the time, and you get continuous insight now into those changes. And this trust view up on the top is pretty simple because it was a small environment. But if you've got multiple domains and you've got a lot of trusts, you're going to see those things change, and you'll be able to see if something looks not right. And it's at your fingertips. And it was interesting. I had done another webinar recently with another CISO, and he had very mature policies, password policies, security management, very much a believer in identity security programs and identity protection. And what he was able to see inside of this was not only things that he had missed, even though he had done two separate assessments, 200 hours of assessment to try to look for vulnerabilities in the system, he missed these things. And so we were able to show him the things because we were able to go deeper and faster. And I asked him, to get this level of information that we're showing you here, how long would it have taken you? And he said, none of our guys are dedicated to this, so 6 months, but even after they finished, it wouldn't be any good because it would be obsolete. And so now what you're doing is you're taking something that would take 6 months of manpower to get done and having it something you could go when you go get a couple. And the cool thing about this is all done from the endpoint, so no special privileges, not touching domain controllers, not disruptive at all, but you can basically see into where those risks and vulnerabilities, this is what the attacker's looking for. And you'll be able to get an understanding of where those highest risks are so you can make them actionable.
That reminds me of the early days. I was on the National Vulnerability Database from working with MITRE and the CVE program. TiVo's dashboard here is the first I've ever seen to actually understand the vulnerabilities in the number one targeted new thing that everyone's going after, Active Directory. Whereas with CVEs, we have holes in Windows, we have holes in Linux, we have holes in Cisco routers. You're finding holes that are being exploited from that list of the bad guys.
Yeah. And the cool thing, and thanks to the great setup, didn't know if you were planning it or not, but inside of the description, you're going to get the CVE and you're going to get the MITRE attack information as well. So anybody that is already trying to do those things or leverage that information is going to be able to see them detailed out in this way. This is the report that comes back with each of those findings, because again, we want to make it so that anybody can be able to get this information. And we also want to drive consistency, right? So when we go research what this is, what it's about, and why, we do all that for you. And so basically, you're going to get the description, you're going to get the mitigation steps that you need to do, and you're going to get the TTPs associated with it. In this case here, you saw an admin SD holder attack, or on the right, you saw a Kerberos, Forge Kerberos ticket or golden ticket attack. And so you really get all of the information to make it actionable. And I also know that it's hard. Sometimes the security teams have information they found and they can't convince the identity teams to do something about it. And that's because they're busy and they don't have time to research and validate it. So whether you're coming from the security team of, now I'm armed with data, and data that's actionable, or I'm coming from the other side of the identity team going, oh, I got to go do something about this now. At least now it's all put together for me where I can move a lot faster than having to go research and validate on my own. And with this, just playing that other story forward, and it was our truth or dare challenge, because the truth was you got a problem with your Active Directory. The dare is we'll show you. And so under the dare piece of it, we showed him, but then the piece that he loved, in addition to seeing the policy drift where he thought he had great policies and they weren't being adhered to, was that it only took him about a day and a half to remediate all the high severity stuff that we found. And so I think not only is it data, because we don't just need more data, we need the data to be actionable, and that's what you get from this. All right, let me keep going, because again, now we've talked about it's the endpoint, it's Active Directory, and now we're moving into the cloud. And there's a whole bunch of stats on this too, about it's all, a lot of the risks and breaches are going to happen because it's going to be misconfigurations and errors on the customer side. A lot of it's going to be associated to identity and privilege management. And then the other side of it is over-provisioning. People just don't see where the over-provisioning is happening. And you hear things now about cloud infrastructure entitlement management or cloud permissions management, and how this new technology is coming out to be able to give that visibility. Because there's so many human and non-human entitlements that are out there, you want to see the recent changes, right? And you want to be able to get granular. So not just a big blob of information, but do you want to look at things in days, months, weeks, trending over time? Do you want to see all your entitlements or just the changes in the entitlements? Do you want to look at things around severity? So privileged access and verbiage changes too. So as you look at this type technology, is make sure they can speak to you in the language you need. Azure is a little different than AWS, than is other platforms that are out there. And so as you look at that, go, what information are you wanting to see? Like, you might want to see your adherence to MFA, or maybe you want to see how you're doing with your Key Vault management, but dig into whether it's a users group or an application issue. And so you want to be able to get very granular so that it becomes actionable behind it. On the other side is you may need to go higher to just go, look, that's a lot of data and it's still a lot of association that has to happen. And I'm having a hard time figuring out what those attack paths and those risks look like. And there's a lot of kind of group policy things that get put into place. And so you want to see from an identity level, what are they entitled to get to? But also from that resource level is who has a right to get to this? Because you may have found that somebody was put into a group and they really shouldn't have been given that access, but they were, and then people forget, and that risk stays out there. And if you look at the stats that were on the prior slide, is they say that 95% of the entitlements that are given are not even used. And so think about that explosion of your attack. All right, so now we've just gone through, and all I've talked about is visibility. And I promised you identity detection and response. So first, let's clean up everything. Let's remove the opportunities for the attackers. And now let's get into detecting that attack activity. And as I mentioned before, it's not just about hygiene and SSO and MFA. Those things are all critical, but it doesn't stop there. So you want to remove that those attack surfaces, which we just went through with visibility. And then you want to look at those detection and response. And if you're adhering to any zero trust programs, look at credential protection. How do you make sure that you are protecting them? You can do things now to hide and deny access and do policy-based conditional access controls or policy-based access controls on these things. You can do your zero trust with Active Directory so that it can't be enumerated by people that are not allowed to do that. You also can look at that cloud over provisioning. And then of course you can have some fun by taking out and putting in a deception credentials or honey tokens out there and have the ability to pick up more threat intelligence about who's trying to steal credentials from you. All right, let's jump in. When we think about the credential protection and detecting unauthorized activity, we're thinking about it both from those network passwords, the things that are stored in memory, as well as application passwords. And so digging into this deeper, you find and remediate those exposed credentials. But then the interesting, and this is really novel and new technology that's out there, is how you protect your application credentials. And this is a policy-based access that only allows that application software to access its credential store. So let's say my Chrome credential was stolen right? And we know there's all kinds of databases out there on the dark web. Let's say it's stolen and they come in and they go, I'm going to impersonate Carolyn and I'm going to log in with her credentials. Well, it's going to recognize if you're not logging in with Chrome to that credential store, and it's going to block that access. So first of all, I can hide my critical credentials. And second, I can go and I can bind them to the applications so that an attacker cannot use even the stolen credentials that they think they can. And then, of course, as I mentioned before, you want to throw them further off path, throw up some decoy credentials and see if they take the bait there as well. And so just to give you a little snapshot viewing of the things that you could basically hide, your web browser credentials, memory credentials, credentials managers, VPN clients, a remote admin, cloud apps, gosh, the list goes on, Windows services like LSA, the Hive registry, there's a whole bunch of different things that you can do. And I think there's close to 100 of these that are in the tool itself. And so you think about the most critical credentials that you want if you want to hide and deny access to them. And the cool thing is, again, this is not restricting the people that are working in their normal operations doing the right thing. This is just going to detect when a person who's not authorized is trying to go in and access this.
Carolyn, remember the story of people got in network, especially Fortune 1000, for 237 days or something before anyone detected it? Do you guys have any stats on how long the bad guy can sit around an AD and exfiltrate data using credentials? Do you have any stats on how long they're in there? Have you noticed? Is it a week, month, a year? And how bad is it?
Yeah. If you're able to get domain control of Active Directory, the longer that you stay hidden, the more you can establish backdoors, the more you can change security policies to give yourself additional privileges and erase your tracks. Maybe you disrupt backups. There's a lot of things you can do if you can go quiet. And once an organization loses that domain control, trying to clean up that mess afterwards, it can take an entire rebuilding of Active Directory. And I can feel the cringe of everybody on the call going, that is just a nightmare situation. You think back to of the attack on Merck a few years ago with NotPetya, and they had to literally take one Active Directory environment that had been offline and fly it out to the ship so that they could prove that they had control of the ship before the ship was allowed to go back into port. And so everybody's business is different, but if you can't show that you've got control, especially if you're working any type of critical infrastructure or anything that could cause harm to human safety, the consequences could be major. Now you may go, okay, I'm not operating a hospital, or I'm not operating an energy substation or something, or freight ships that are coming into port, or an airplane or other things. But still in your business, like we had a large retailer a couple of years ago, lost domain control. And I think it took them over a year to rebuild everything. And it was actually a fascinating story because they had clearly taken over control and they couldn't figure out, because the attacker was using legitimate credentials and just hiding themselves in the pattern of things. And so in the end, what we ended up doing was standing up some deception decoy things where even to the employees, this thing looked legitimate. Again, it wasn't registered as a normal thing, so people shouldn't have been logging into it. So it was used as one of the traps to be able to get the attacker to log into the decoy to find out who it was and what, you know, and where the issue was, because they just had whose legitimate control credentials were being used illegitimately. And so that's why this stuff all becomes so important. It's don't let the attackers masquerade around with real credentials, set up these things so that they can't do that. And then definitely do everything in your power to not lose domain control. And it's easy and it's fast. On the flip side of it, you get I was on a panel a few months ago with another CISO, and he was talking about a simple domain replication error. And it was like within 48 hours, the attacker had moved and moved fast because their goal was just lock everything down and get a ransom, right? They didn't want to take a lot of time to get, you know, large exfiltration. They just wanted to encrypt stuff. And so it can be super fast and it can be very deadly, very fast.
And almost all businesses in the world are running Active Directory. So that's why I asked that. At some point, we're going to have the same kind of stats from Attivo Networks that people are creeping on your AD and you didn't even know it. And the ghosts and ghouls, the bad guys are in there and they're doing things you don't see them. And without what I've seen so far, you're not going to see them. So I'll hold off until polls and other questions at the end. But Carolyn, this is amazing.
Yeah. No, it's one of the scarier things these days. And we talked a lot about Active Directory. So what are some of the greatest concerns? A lot of things around privilege escalation, a Kerberos attacks, AD reconnaissance, golden ticket attacks, and something's hard, DC shadow, DC sync attacks. They're just very difficult to be able to detect. And so when I look at that and I think about, okay, how do I stop them? And I mentioned earlier that you can do this at the point of observation. And so with the TiVo's AD Secure technology, you actually can detect when an attacker is trying to enumerate Active Directory. So they're going in with Bloodhound or one of their other tools, and this will be able to detect that this is an unauthorized query. And you can do two things. You can just say, hey, let me alert when this stuff is going on, or let me actually misdirect the attack. So now let me steer them off, give them back disinformation. And I love our demo. Like, if you get a chance to do it, because at least the one that we use in our group is we put fake actors. I'm sure Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie really do not work for Ativo, but we can make you think they do, because when you go to query it, they will look like, they'll look like some of our security administrators. And so now the attacker, and again, we do that very unbelievable intentional, so you can see the difference. But if you just take variants and feedback the attacker, they think they've gotten what they want. And the piece that they like the least about this is they always trust their tool. Why would their tools lie to them? And this is a twist on the Ativo's heritage and deception. This is, well, yes, now we are making it so their tools are lying to them and telling them that they've gone and got the data that was requested. It looks like it should look, and now they're going to try to take action on it, but it'll just steer them into a decoy. And we've had people that have been tripped up in there for hours on end. And we love the security assessments where the pen testers come in and they go, hey, sorry to tell you guys, we compromised Active Directory. And then the defenders come and go, yeah, we know, here's every step that you made and every command. And it's cool, within 20 commands that you've got these guys and you know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And you just keep a record, and it's all safe because now you've diverted them from your production environment into a decoy. So very powerful way of doing this. And again, you're not touching any domain controller or anything in the AD environment to do this. So it is super efficient. It's all done from the endpoint. All right. So two parts to think. So now we just talked about derailing the query, but the second piece is getting visibility to when live attack activities are happening. So let's detect any kind of mass account lockouts, changes, deletions, big password changes, changes to sensitive accounts. Say maybe there's a suspicious service creation or a new domain controller that looks like it pops up. DC shadow attacks, as I mentioned before, very hard to detect. These are things that just slip through, because most people's tools or even their ability to dig into the data deep enough, they just don't have the time or resources to do it. And so you can see those things from here. Also neat when we talk about all those privileged access and accounts that are out there, if all of a sudden you see a reactivation of a disabled account, because a lot of times people still leave them in there for various reasons, but what if it gets reactivated? Would you even know? And then what kind of control could that attacker get when that happens? So again, this live attack and detection on Active Directory is extremely powerful. All right, so now pulling it all together, so we basically have cloaked the credentials, we've hidden them so the attackers and their tools can't see them, we've bound the credentials so that only using policy-based access can a person get into that credential store, it's gonna be right app to the right credential store. You can stand up decoy credentials to throw them off the path. You can also do the AD query discovery and misdirection. And of course, through all this, you're going to learn, well, where are the weaknesses and how do you continue to reduce your attack surface and remove those paths and those options that the attackers are taking advantage of. All right, so one more thing before I go off of this, because it's cool, it's not specific to credentials, but this cloaking technology that I talked about, if you are concerned about ransomware, and who isn't, is very powerful because you can hide files, folders, mapped shares, cloud shares, removable drives, in addition to those credentials and those AD objects. And this becomes really powerful because you take these all away from the attacker, what are they going to be able to get to? And so again, cloaking is very efficient and it hides it all from their visibility. And then you can choose to stand up fake information to misdirect them, or you can just choose to alert, but it's very powerful. All right, pulling it all together, we've got identity security, visibility and detection and response. Now you've got protection at the endpoint. You've got Active Directory protection, and now you've got protection for your cloud. And so you see those infrastructure entitlements and the over-provisioning that's happening. We have just put up a lot of barriers to success for the attacker in a very efficient way. And I didn't mention this earlier on, but the coolest part of all of this is all managed by one central management console, and it's all licensable. So you can start anywhere you want and just add to it as you choose, but it's all super easy to scale, and the management dashboard is very easy to use and centrally managed so that you don't have to continue to learn a whole bunch of new things. All right, I promised you an example. And on the example front, we'll dig a little bit into just the ransomware kill chain. So if you think about EDR, which you have for protecting initial access, and then everything for credential theft, lateral movement, and persistence, these are areas that Attivo can kick in to help you out with that are not covered by the other things. So again, think about your defense in depth here. You're now adding in a deep level of additional roadblocks and challenges for the attacker. Breaking it down into the different types, if you consider ransomware 1.0 and 2.0, is that under 1.0, they're going to come in, they're going to look for those local files and folders, they're going to spread to the shares and propagate across the systems. And in this environment is where you more traditionally put up decoy assets, so fake endpoints, fake servers, fake data, so that it steers the attacker off path. Attivo has a kind of cool deflect technology that prevents an attacker from fingerprinting the endpoint, and also being able to look for end services that they can exploit. So that's how you can handle 1.0. But what we're seeing now is the 2.0 has a very different level of sophistication, and they're using a lot of the APT style tactics to do this. So they're going to go straight for that domain admin PC. They're going to look to move laterally, steal those credentials, create their persistence, and then go to the encryption of the high target assets. They'll steal, they'll exfiltrate, or maybe they'll just encrypt at that point. But what you want to do is these steps that you see here with the A through F under section B are things that are not covered by your traditional defenses. And this is what you're going to get by putting in this identity security solution. Words of advice, cool stuff, everybody has cool technology, how do you get budget? And so what you would want to do is you want to talk to them about how you assess and measure the exposures and risks and how efficient your tools are for doing that. The analysis and prioritization of the exposures and misconfigurations, show them the data you can get. There is a free assessment that Attivo will do for you, so you can get some of that data and information to use for justification. Take a look at how much data, but how much guidance is given and if it's actionable. So now you can present not only the problem, but you can also come back and say, hey, look, I'm recommending a tool that gives me that practical and actionable guidance. And then from a business standpoint, what are the consequences? And everybody always goes, well, yeah, I don't want to get breached, obviously, but what a compromise of a credential Active Directory could do to your business continuity and overall welfare. And get very specific about the credential piece and how that alters or acts differently than a typical attack. And then also put it into the context of compliance and risks and also insurance. And so, again, these things are changing. Active Directory protecting your data and information should be a part of everybody's compliance policy. It is not always there. It should be. And I think compliance controls are going to start to get tighter and smarter about that. And you need to be prepared. And then on insurance, as I mentioned before, they may require it. A lot of them are requiring MFA. This is the next logical step to go, hey, if you're not protecting your credentials and activity and Active Directory, you're not doing your diligence. So expect to see more come through on those things and helping your business get ready for that. Independent review. Peter did this review. Peter Stephenson, great forensic investigator, works on the cyber defense media team, did a great review of Active Directory. I do encourage you to hit up the Cyber Defense Magazine website. Take a read of it, and that gives you his independent assessment. And then I mentioned that Truth or Dare challenge before, where we'll provide a free Active Directory assessment. So again, super, super easy. Generally, we ask people block about an hour and a half. That allows us time to just connect. We'll use a cloud link from an endpoint, and we'll basically run the analysis, and we'll do part of an analysis, and the rest is all really spent on just looking at the readout.
Whoa, Carolyn, hold on a sec. Thank you for the plug for Peter. He did SC Labs. He ran them for 25 years. He's one of the best lab directors in the world. We're lucky to have him. We're blessed to have him. He did a great analysis on you guys. He's very honest and deep diving, which is really good. You're saying in an hour and a half, you can finish this assessment?
Yeah, typically we're going to run it. We'll take one domain connected environment. And if you ask me to do this on a big global network, it might take us a little longer than an hour and a half, but it is fast. But for most people, you just give us one domain joined PC. We'll look at the domain or domains that it's connected to. And we can run it in about an hour and a half for most typical networks. Like I said, if you ask us to do something huge, it might take us a little bit longer. But yeah, it's super quick and you get the readout of the reports from us. So we help you tell you how to understand them. And then you can take that information back to your team. Or as I mentioned in the other case, he took it back and he went and made his fixes. and that was great. Yeah. And
fantastic. Thank you. I wanted to keep the slide up long for our viewers and our listeners and give them time to grab the URL. Will you be giving this away as a follow-up? Maybe we'll give them a PDF version of this as a follow-up and email maybe?
Sure. Yeah. We're happy to. Yeah. And we could do that. And also we could probably pop it into your attachment section if it'll let us do it after the event. But we'll make sure you guys have access to this because it's a lot of information to digest all at once. So again, we can do a recap as far as a demo. And I think we have a question too, just to capture people's interest. And if you'd like a demo, if you'd like an assessment or both, we can definitely do that for you as well. But it's talking to somebody the other day and they're like, why in the heck wouldn't you? Do you not want to know what's going on? So Gary, can you pop up that poll just so we can capture that? And
absolutely. Let me start backwards with this one. Let's see what we get on. I'm most concerned about improving my security. Hold on one sec.
Okay, yeah, this one, just to give us an idea of what's top of mind. Many folks, if you're already using some of these Active Directory tools, and it was interesting, the survey, which is also in the attachments piece here, that'll give you all the great information. But inside of that, 27% of the respondents were already using identity detection and response, which is fantastic. You could already challenge me and say, okay, is it just because people recognize it because it sounds like a buzzword? But we are hoping, given especially the growth that Attivo has seen in this space, that it is because the category is taking legs. And I do expect that it is going to get covered. It already has been covered by about probably eight different analyst firms. Event organizers have it on agenda. And there's a big presence from an editorial and webinar coverage that's going to happen with it through many different publications in next year. Yeah, I think it'll have a lot of attention there. So it looks like a lot of people looking at Active Directory. And yeah, that seems about right from the distribution and the inquiries that we have as well. But definitely make sure if we do the demo, have them show you the credential cloaking stuff. It's really cool. For those that are not familiar with Attivo Networks or those that knew us from our deception heritage, obviously we are a market leader in deception-based detection, but now we've got the identity detection as a big part of our portfolio now, as well as identity visibility, which covers all of the visibility into those endpoint exposures, Active Directory, as well as the cloud infrastructure entitlements. And so with that, again, I do encourage you to ask any questions. Gary, anything else, or should we just pop up the poll at this point?
I am popping up the third and final poll, folks. Let me just say this. Carolyn is one of the top presenters for this kind of stuff in the world. We are so blessed and lucky to have her. I'm glad, Carolyn, you shared so much information. Folks, here's our last poll. Would you like to be contacted by Attivo Networks for a free assessment or demo? I'll tell you what I'm saying. Well, I'm not allowed to vote. And Carolyn, thank you. Thanks to our attendees. Anyway, thank you, Carolyn. My last question is, when can I get my assessment?
Anytime. Yeah, just give us a ring. And Gary, it's always a pleasure and you're always so flattering. So thank you very much. I try to live up to the way you paint my pictures. But thank you all for tuning in. Please be in touch. Definitely reach out. It's quite interesting and very easy to get to know what's going on inside the network and especially your Active Directory environment. Please do take us up on it. We are very happy to spend the time with you to do that. And I wish you guys all a very great day.
Thank you, Carolyn Crandall. And this is one of the best webinars, even though our faces aren't up, the content's phenomenal. Carolyn, may I have you back?
Absolutely. It'd be my pleasure.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio with your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.